Thank you, sisters. That was very pretty. Our speaker this afternoon is Elder Nicholas Denham. I have been a neighbor of Brother Denham's most of the time that I've been acquainted with the church. He has chastised me, corrected me, helped me come a little closer to Christ. I have learned over the back fence with Brother Nicholas many things about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know that today he wants to share with you that beautiful story of Christ. So I give you now Elder Nicholas Denham.
Thank you, Brother Frank, for those kind words. And I want to thank our two sisters for that beautiful song. They don't know it, but that's one of my favorites. And I'm especially indebted to them. I feel that having heard this rendition, we have been paid for the time that we have come out, because there was a sermon in that song. And I'm sure that we all who know it, and I'm sure we must all be acquainted with it, have appreciated the sentiments that have been expressed in that song. As far back as I can remember, I recall hearing my mother's voice singing that song. And that goes back quite a while. I'm not going to stand up here and brag about being an ancient, because I don't feel like I am. I want to express also the appreciation that I have for the words of our brother this morning as he spoke to us. He didn't know what I had in mind, what I feel the Lord has laid upon my heart. And I didn't know what he had laid upon his heart. But he just opened the door for me. And Brother Don, I want to express my appreciation, knowing that the Lord directs when we let him. And I hope that this afternoon I may let him. And I ask an interest in your prayers that I may be able to bring to us, because I need it as much as anyone else. The words which our brother has asked our Heavenly Father for this afternoon. It's indeed a joy for me to be able to give a hope, or to give a reason for the hope that I have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a joy for me to meet many of my family, because not only are my blood relatives dear, but all my brothers and sisters in our Lord and Jesus Christ. You mean just as much to me as my brothers and sisters of the flesh. And I want you to know that your welfare is of great concern to me. This morning, our brother brought to us words showing to us our duty And I, too, want to bring to us our duty. Not something that I can give that hasn't been given many times to you before. But I used to teach school, and I learned one thing, that to get an idea over to people, because young folks are people, and the rest of us are just people grown a little older, and that's all. We still have the same dispositions that we had when we were children. We have likes and we have dislikes. We have times when we're willing to do what needs to be done, and we have times when we have to force ourselves to do the things that we should do. And that seems to hold out throughout life. And so, in order to accomplish that which we need to accomplish, we have to be reminded time after time after time after time, and it goes on as long as we live. I was just thinking, I wish all of you were right out here instead of to my far left and my far right. So I hope my wandering with my head back and forth is not going to be too much of a bother, but it seems to take quite a lot of effort. Nevertheless, I want to follow up some of the things our brother brought to us this morning, and that is our duty. You recall, I'm sure, of Jesus saying that there shall be a time come when he shall gather his people in that last day. Some shall be on his left hand and some shall be on his right. And he shall say, because you did or because you didn't do this or that, you did or did not do it unto me. And that we have to remember. We have heard a great deal lately, as we've probably heard all our lives, about the redemption of Zion. I've heard about the redemption of Zion since I was a little boy. And while I'm at it, I might tell you, because our brother mentioned the fact this morning about such, I was 10 and a half years old when I decided that I wanted to make a covenant with God in the waters of baptism. I came home from Sunday school on this particular Sunday, and I told my mother of my desire. I can't remember the conversation I had with her. I went to her for everything. I didn't very often go to my dad. He was not hard for me to go to, but he was a hard worker and he was tired when he came home, and I did all I could to make things pleasant for him by being quiet and letting him read his paper. But mother was a little different, as mothers usually are. So I went to my mother and I told her the burden that was on my heart. She asked me a lot of questions. And she decided that I knew what I was about. Arrangements were made, and I was baptized along with four other young folks. But I was the baby of the group, so to speak. I was the first one to go down into the water. And water frightened me. It was on the second day of January, 1921. And I had an experience that has stayed with me to this day. I was filled with the greatest joy that a person could ever expect to experience. We heard some mighty wonderful singing up here a while ago by the group from Phoenix, as well as by the two sisters who just finished singing a few minutes ago. But never in all my life have I been so thrilled with singing that I heard upon that occasion of my baptism. I spoke of it to my mother, and she said, "Well, what song was it, son?" Because I supposed it was the congregation. And I said, "Well, I don't know what the words were, but I know the tune." Well, she said, "Hum it to me." And I hummed that tune to my mother, and she looked at me in astonishment. She said, "Son, we didn't sing that song. I've never before heard it." And I was puzzled. How come that I heard such beautiful music that thrilled my soul, and yet nobody else that was there heard it? I couldn't understand it. But I'll tell you one thing. It carried me through my youth, and it still supports me today. The joy that came with it. I was grown. Reading this book, when it came to me, what I heard. And brothers and sisters, it was beyond description. These are some of the blessings that God has promised to you and me if we are faithful. Sunday morning, we're going to hear two prayers offered. Pardon me. And those prayers are going to be offered over the bread and the wine. I think I'm right in the... I can't find Brother Rowan. Where are you? I think I'm right. There is a sacrament service, isn't there? Sunday morning. And the burden of that prayer is that we might keep the commandments of God, that we might have His Spirit to be with us not now and then, not here and there, but always. I'd like to refer us, and if you have your Book of Mormon and Bibles with you, I'd very much be glad to have you follow me. I'd like to turn to 1 Nephi, the third verse. Or third chapter, I'm sorry. And beginning with verse 181, and this is found on page 37, if you want to follow by page number. And I'd like to read a few verses here. I might tell you about that sweet wife of mine before I read this. I thought she was going to be able to be with me today, with us, but she was detained, and it was a disappointment to me. But she says, "My dear husband, you don't look at your audience enough, and if I don't look at you, it's because I'm looking at somebody else. I think I was in a schoolroom long enough to know that people have to be looked at when they're spoken to. But for some reason, she has felt that I did too much looking at other things and other places, and that I read too much. But I believe there are times when we have to read. And so I don't excuse myself for it now. The only excuse I might have is a little bit more light here. But if you'll excuse my stumbling a bit, perhaps, starting with verse 181, going down to the bottom of the page, "And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, saith the Lamb of God, after I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, and this remnant of whom I speak is the seed of thy father. Wherefore, after I have visited them in judgment, and smitten them by the hand of the Gentiles, and after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly, because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, and they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And after thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brother, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and the power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock and my salvation. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost." Oh, what a wonderful promise God has made to those who seek to bring forth my Zion at that day. Why, we've heard this all our lives, haven't we? It isn't anything new. But where is Zion? Can we brag about having established it or found it? You know, I've said this before, and I probably will say it again. I'm the fourth generation in my family to accept this restored gospel. And since 1831, when my great-grandmother and great-grandfather entered the waters of baptism, they've been looking forward, and their children after them, and their grandchildren, and now their great-grandchildren are still looking for the accomplishment of this great thing. If we turn to Psalms, turn to the 50th Psalm, we find a statement made there under the inspiration of God to the psalmist David. Oh yes, we've heard this many times too. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. What are we looking for, and how are we going to recognize, and how are we going to bring it about? Perfection. Our brother said this morning that he couldn't go into all the details of our duty, and neither can I. There aren't enough hours left this afternoon, and I don't want to hold you. The schedule says that this service shall last from 2:30 till 3:30, and I only have 25 minutes to complete what I have to say, and I'm sure I can do it. Because I cannot tell you all the things that are your responsibility and duty to do in obedience to our Heavenly Father. I'd like to turn to Matthew. The 5th chapter of Matthew. And I'd like to read a few things there that are written, which are the words of our Lord and Savior. Let me begin with the first verse and run on down here for a little ways, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'll let you do that. You've done it. But my brother and my sister, don't stop there. Read it again. Read it every day. Because we need to remember it and keep it before us and put it into practice. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. And what he taught them are the things that you and I need to be doing all the time. And let us measure ourselves by what's here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I could spend the rest of this half hour and the next as well talking about being poor in spirit. But I don't think that's necessary. It'd make a good sermon. But that's not what I'm after. I want to go on a little further. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Oh, listen. I'm going to say, and I believe I'm saying facts, that the oldest member of this Church of Christ, at least membership-wise, lies in independence in a nursing home. And that's my oldest sister, Margaret Wheaton. She's 95 years old. And besides her, my wife's stepfather is in the same home, and he's 92. My wife and I make 3 trips a week to the nursing home to visit them and encourage them and so on. There are approximately 125 people there in that home, and we're pretty well acquainted with most of them. Those poor souls need a lot of comfort. My heart is wrung many times because of the misery and the unhappiness that I see when I go there. Here I am neglecting these folks, looking over this way. Pardon me, I don't mean to be. They need comfort. I might tell you, Margaret has one thing on her mind. She was taught it from babyhood by my mother. I've got to behave myself. Yes, even at 95. I've got to behave myself. And so must I. And so must we all. We've got to be obedient in order to qualify for that which we have hope for, and that's a place in the kingdom of heaven. I could go on down here with the rest of these Beatitudes and read them, but you've read them. And so I will hurry along. Besides the Beatitudes, there are other commandments which God gave, or which Christ gave, that are listed here in the next several verses. And I want you to notice, which you've done many times, I'm sure, the very last verse of this chapter. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You can't be perfect on this earth. Why, I've heard that since I was a young man. Do you believe it? Do you believe you can be perfect? My brother and my sister, it's up to us to become perfect. That is our responsibility and our duty. To obey the commandments of God down to perfection. And as our brother said this morning, we've got to bring ourselves into subjection to the will of God in all things. And when we do, we're going to experience the most wonderful of experiences. They're for us. I've seen them. I'm sorry. But these things are important. Our eternal welfare depends upon our submitting ourselves in total to our Heavenly Father. We have been too long influenced by the ideas of the world who say it can't be done. Where did that idea come from? From that angel who fell, whose name was Lucifer, who was a son of the morning. Morning means early. He was created in great beauty and is described as the most beautiful stones and beautiful things that this world has produced. But he fell. Why did he fall? Because he was jealous. He wanted God's glory. All glory belongs to God, not to his angels, and not to us humans. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I'd like to take you over to the Book of Mormon and see what Christ said to the remnant of Jacob, to whom he had given this land and has given it to them. And it shall be returned to them. On page 638, or in other words, the third chapter of 3 Nephi, verse 92, we find Jesus having given to those people upon that great occasion the same words, sometimes word for word, the same thing that he had given those on the Mount of Olives. So by going to the 92nd verse, we find that he says this: old things are done away, and all things have become new. The old law, given in the desert on Mount Sinai, had been fulfilled. He said to John, previous to this time, he said, I give you a new law. And that new law is the law of love. Love God with all your heart, with all your might, and with all your strength. And if we give it all to Him, we don't have anything else. We don't have any for anything else. Not even for ourselves. Old things are done away and all things have become new. Therefore, I would. What does that mean? That means it is my will. I would that ye should be perfect, even as I or your Father who is in heaven is perfect. You know, I found out teaching school, and it was a wonderful experience, and I never got over it. But I found out this. We only get from children what we expect from them. Ourselves. Not the other person. Oh yes, I think sometimes we get a little guilty, and I'll have to confess that I've been guilty of being a little critical of my brothers and my sisters when things didn't go quite like I thought they should. And I'm ashamed of that. I'm terribly ashamed of that. And I confess it before you, and I've confessed it before the Lord many times. I am ashamed when I get critical of my brothers and my sisters. I need to get critical of Nicholas. And when I get critical of Nicholas, I've got my hands full. Our Heavenly Father expects perfection of you and me. And if we shut out the idea that we can reach perfection, we have given over to the adversary of our souls. And that's exactly what He wants. He wants you and me to take the defeatist attitude that we can't do it. It can't be done. And if He can get us in that frame of mind, then He can lead us by the nose just wherever He wants us to go. And He wants us to go down to destruction. That's His purpose. You know, it's an alarming thing to me when I think about the power that Lucifer had upon his fellows. Angels, if you please. Angels. And he, having power to have sidetracked 1/3 of that wonderful group of individuals. And got them on the wrong track. How do we stand as compared to angels? Brothers and sisters, there's another passage of Scripture which are some more words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to bring them to you before I quit. And my time's about up, and I'm not wanting to keep you over time. But I have something on my mind that's bothered me for a long time, and I want to get it off. If you'll turn with me to the 11th chapter of 3 Nephi, that's on page 667. I want to read a few verses again. Oh, yeah, you've heard this too, I'm sure. I didn't expect to bring you anything new. But I want to remind us of a responsibility which God has laid upon you and me that we might reach that perfection. And this is only a little part of it, but it's an important part. And now it came to pass that when Jesus had expounded all the scriptures in one which they had written, he commanded them that they should teach the things which he had expounded unto them. And it came to pass that he commanded them that they should write the words which the Father had given unto Malachi. Oh, yeah, he's going to preach a sermon on the requirements or that which we expect of a bishop. Yes, that's what I'm going to do. Because I think that's just a part. I'm not trying to compare one point with another. Please don't misunderstand me. But I think that is a part of the things that you and I must be aware of and be obedient to. And it came to pass that after they were written, he expounded them, and these are the words which he did tell them, saying, Thus saith the Father unto Malachi, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Now, we've heard a whole lot lately about whether a temple should be built, and some are going to take the idea that the temple is the body in which was given to him, and others are going to say that it was a building. I'm not going to start an argument here, pro or con. I want to go on through here. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. I want to testify here before you while I have the opportunity that we're getting close. We're getting very close to the time of the coming of Jesus Christ. I know. I was told. And that was another experience that I won't take time to talk about right now. But I'll tell you, it's one that can shake you. It's a serious thing, my brothers and my sisters. And we'd better be making our preparation for that wonderful day. Because to some it will be awful. We need to prepare ourselves for perfection. Now, remember the 25th chapter of Matthew where Jesus was saying to his disciples about the parable of the 10 virgins. Clean, pure, but only half of them got in. What about the other half? How awful disappointed they must have been who found the door locked and they couldn't get in. That's because they didn't have all the preparation made that needed to be made. What is your preparation and mine now? Not next year. That may be too late. Now, let me proceed. And he shall sit as a refiner of fire and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near to you in judgment. I wonder where we're going to be when we're judged. I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow, in other words, against those who oppress the widow, and the fatherless. We have a responsibility, don't we? Yes, we do. And that turn aside this stranger, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to examine and see what we need to do. You know, I have a question put to me every once in a while. Well, what shall we do? What do we need to be doing? What are the commandments that we're supposed to be keeping? Well, I don't have time enough to tell you today, and neither do any of the rest of my brethren at one sitting. There's too much. We need to read it for ourselves. Let me ask you a question right here. How many of you have a television? Don't raise your hands. How many of you have a television at your house? How many hours a day is it used? How much time do you spend reading this book and this one? Now compare the time that's spent in front of the television and the time spent reading these two books and see how they compare. Do they make a good comparison? I hope so. I'm not your judge. But God is. And he's my judge too. We're all going to have to answer to him. What are we doing with our time? Are we improving it as we should? Perfection, yes. Why? Because that's what God requires of us. Let's go on. I'm going to jump down here to the 10th verse. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone astray from mine ordinances, or gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Why, that's questions put to a lot of us every once in a while. Well, what are we supposed to be doing? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I'm not saying that all you people here today are not paying your tithing. I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not caring to know. I don't want to know. But you know, and God knows. Christ gave this to you and to me. He gave it to Nephi to write down that he might pass it on to you and me, and he requires it of us. Now, I can tell you from experience, when we honor the Lord with the first fruits of our increase, he pours out a blessing upon us, and there's no two ways about it. And you withhold it, or I withhold it, and there comes a decrease. I know, because I've seen it happen. I asked our recorder today, how many members there are in the church? And he told me, as near as he has been able to determine, and it's awfully hard, I know, I was there one time, it's awfully hard to keep track of how many members there are in the Church of Christ. But he came up with about 2,200. Is that right, Brother Recorder? Pardon? 2,340. Now, there's about 20 in Europe, and you know it's awful hard to get money out of Europe to send to the United States, and that doesn't disturb me. About 450 of our brethren down in Mexico. Is that right, Brother McNew? We'll take 450 from 2,300. We got about 1,900 left, haven't we? Right here in the States. If we say that four members of the church average in a family, I'm looking at one family, there's three members in that household. Looking at another family, there's two members in that household. I think I know of several where there's one member in the household. And I know where there are a few who have six or seven members in a household. And I think it would be fairly accurate to say we might average out throughout the church, four church members in a household. An average. Maybe it wouldn't be that high. But let's say four. If we take 2,000 members and divide it by four, we'd have 500 families. If the average income for a year... An average income would be about $20,000 a year. Is that too much? An average? There's some that are higher than that. There are quite a few that are lower. Do you know what that would bring in as a total income to the membership of the Church of Christ? $1,000,000. No. Yes. If everybody paid a tenth of one of their income, you know where that would put us? Tithing. $100,000 a year. We wouldn't have to worry about where we're going to get money to do this and that and the other for the missionary work, would we? What'd the Lord say? Bring ye your tithes and offerings into the storehouse that there might be meat. Meat in my house. That's food. That's food. Brothers and sisters, let's not neglect that one commandment of our Heavenly Father. But at the same time, let's not neglect any of the commandments, because God expects of you and me perfection. I haven't any axe to grind. I only want to see you blessed, as I know there are blessings waiting for God to pour out upon you and upon me. He's blessed me abundantly, but I need to continue to receive His blessings. And I'm just as anxious for you to be blessed as I am for myself to be blessed. It makes me happy to see my brothers and sisters happy. And there is no greater happiness than the service of God. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Nicholas. We're going to close our service with number 213. Number 213. Let's stand. you bow your heads with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this hour that we have spent with you. We thank you for the words that has been given to us by your servant. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help each one of us to know the duty that we have. Help each one of us do those things that are pleasing in your sight, that would draw us closer unto you, that would qualify us for God's kingdom. Father, we ask your presence during the remainder of this reunion. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be here in abundance with such power that each one would not deny that you have been among us. And Father, go with us now, and we pray these things in Christ's holy and righteous name. Amen.